scriptures. Hosea chapter 10. Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. And this is what it says in the New King James Version. It says, "Sow for yourselves righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness on you." Sow for yourselves righteousness. You know, Pastor Ben alluded to this, I think, in his last message. I've mentioned it a week or two. I think we actually both have been giving some reference to the fact that in challenging times, God is moving. Challenging times is an incubator, if you will, for spiritual revival. We believe that people are drawn closer to God when they are faced with their greatest difficulties and their own mortality. And we, as believers, we have been praying for revival. How many here have been praying for revival? I know I have. I've been praying for revival. But oftentimes we pray for revival like it's just totally up to God. You know, we're just bystanders. We're hapless bystanders who just expect God to move. We're just waiting. Okay, God, we're praying for revival. Let's have revival. You let us know when, God. No. Charles Finney said this, a great revivalist, by the way. He said, "A revival of religion is not a miracle. Revival is the result of the right use of appropriate means." And then he also said this. He said, "The fact is, Christians are more to blame for not being revived than sinners are for not being converted." How are we doing in our revival? One of my favorites, Andrew Womack, said, "If you want to see revival, go out and revive someone." You see, I believe that we have a part to play in the revival process. It's not just a matter of praying and, "God, pour out your spirit so that everybody just comes to you." It doesn't work that way. If it did, he wouldn't have had to give us the Great Commission. He would have just poured out that spirit and let everybody get saved, and then it's all done. It doesn't work that way. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you are a God of revival, that you have just made revival a part of your plan and your program. Lord, that in our lives, you want us revived. And in our communities, you want our communities revived. You want spiritual revival. You want change to take place in the hearts and the minds of men and women and children, not just here, but all over the world. And we do pray for revival. But Lord, I pray you open our eyes to see our part in the process, that you help us to see what we do and how we should prepare. I pray that you would just give us wisdom and give us insight. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of my message tonight is simply "Preparing for Revival." Now, in your own mind, I want you to ask yourself this question. Don't scream it out loud. Ask yourself this question: do I want revival? Do I want revival? You know, when I asked myself that question a little while back and I thought about it for a second, I thought, you bet I want revival, because I am tired of the way this world is going. I am tired of the way it seems to be headed to hell in a handbasket, and all of the morality is going out the window, and people are just starting to irritate me. And then I realized, okay, this is probably not the heart of God. It's probably, you know, because that's a selfish motivation on my part. Yeah, I want revival so that I can have a more comfortable and enjoyable life, because these people around me are getting in the way. This sin and debauchery and all of the yuck I have to try and protect myself from and screen off from the world, it's getting to be a real pain in my keister. Again, that's kind of a selfish motivation on my part. That is not the heart of God. I want revival. But I believe if you want revival, and I believe most of you do, that we play a part in that. There are things that we have to do. There are parts of revival that depend totally upon us. And I'm going to give you four things that I think we need to do to prepare for revival. Number one, and this is a biggie. Number one, we need to realize it's time to have revival in our own lives. It's time to have revival in our own lives. We need to realize that we need a revelation. We need an epiphany to understand that we need revival. It's not just the heathen. We need revival. Revival always starts in the church. It's the only way it starts. We need to be revived in our own spiritual life. I do believe we are living in the days that the prophet Joel spoke about in Joel 2:28, where God would pour his flesh upon all spirit, or on all, let's try that again, where God would pour his spirit upon all flesh, all right? And, you know, great things are going to happen. And I believe that day began in the book of Acts. And we're still in that time. God is pouring out his spirit. We need to realize that we need more of that. You see, a lot of us have walked faithfully with the Lord for many years. I don't even want to think about how many years it's been now. It used to be, you know, 10, 15 years, and now it's been a long time. We've walked faithfully with the Lord for many years, and that's a good thing. That is something that we can be happy about. And, you know, the stories we could share. I mean, I don't know if you sat back and just, you know, perused your memory, what kind of stories and miracles could you tell us that you saw and that you were a part of, and revival meetings that just went crazy wild into the late of the night, and nobody was willing to go home, and just waves of people were slain. And I mean, we could talk all night, especially those of us who have been walking with the Lord for quite some time, and share all of these wonderful, great stories. But I tell you what, we cannot just live on our fond memories of the past. We cannot just say, well, it's been so cool, and not expect more, and not hope for more, and not be praying for more to happen in our future. You can't live on yesterday's outpouring. And unfortunately, I know people who are like that. All they can talk about when it comes to God is the great things that happened way back in the day. You can't live on yesterday's anointing. You can't live forever on the experience that you had with God back in 1998 or whatever year it might have been when that great thing happened for you. We need to realize today we need more revival in our life. We need more revival in our life. You and me. See, we've got to make sure that we don't think that we have reached the pinnacle, that we have gotten all of God that there is and understand him to such a degree that we don't need to really know more. God is looking for people who will ask him for more. He's looking for people who will say, Lord, here am I. I want to do more. I want to see more. I want to experience you more. Are we truly asking for more? This is a question we have to ask ourselves personally in your own life. I mean, I can kind of give you my idea about the whole church at large, but just for you, you think about this. Are we truly asking for more, or have we become comfortable with where we're sitting? See, I'm always fearful of comfort. I'm always fearful of comfort because it's so easy to just stay there. Last week, I believe I preached on Joshua and Caleb. Those men had a different spirit. And I want to go back and talk about Caleb. You know, when you think about it, you read their stories. I think Caleb was actually the more courageous of the two. I think if you really look at it, Joshua was inspired by Caleb. Anyway, Caleb, this is from a story out of Scripture. Caleb had a daughter named Aksa. And when she was of marrying age, during the time that they are moving into the promised land and they are taking territory, they are conquering the giants and everybody else that was in their way. And there was this city, the city of Debir, that Caleb wanted taken. And he made this promise. He said, whoever will take that city, I will give my daughter in marriage. Well, Othniel, who was the son of Kenaz, who was Caleb's brother, he took that city. And Caleb, true to his word, gave his daughter to Othniel. And he also gave the newlyweds a piece of land. He gave them this land, their own inheritance. But his daughter wanted more. Remember I said, God is looking for those who want more. His daughter wanted more. The parcel that they were given was a land that was rather arid, and she wanted some springs. She wanted some water. So she urged her husband to go and ask Dad for some springs, for more. Now, this story, you can find it in two different places in the Bible. It's recounted in Joshua 15 and Judges chapter 1. And so they go to talk to Caleb. They get to Dad's place, and the Bible says when she got off her donkey, Caleb asked, "What can I do for you?" See, there was something about the way that she presented herself. Something about, I don't know if there was a determination in her eyes or if she gets off that donkey and there's some purpose in her heart. You can see she's got something on her mind. And Caleb knew that she was about ready to do some kind of business. And so he looked at her and he said, "What can I do for you?" when she got off her donkey. Now, if you read the King James version of that story, they don't use the term donkey. They translate that as a different word. You see, if you, some of you are getting this, if you just sit on your donkey, the father will say, "What am I going to do for that person?" But if you'll get off your donkey, he'll say, "What can I do for you?" If you will get off, you know, he'll look at you and he'll say, "I've been waiting for you to get off that donkey. I've been waiting for that." I tell you what, if you get off your donkey, you will impress the father. You will get his attention. See, his daughter, Aksah, knew what she wanted. She said, "Give me springs of water." And he gave her the upper and the lower springs. If you get off your donkey and you say, "What I have had, though it might be good, is not good enough anymore. Not good enough for today. I want more. I'm not just gonna settle and live on what I've always had. I want more. I'm not gonna sit on my donkey. I'm not gonna rest for the rest of my life." If you take that kind of an attitude, God is gonna notice. God will notice and he'll give you what you want. I mean, Caleb gave his daughter the water that she asked for, the refreshing that she asked for, and I tell you what, God will give you springs of revival if you will ask for them. All right, that was number one. Number two, we're preparing for revival. We need to make seeking God a priority. We all know Matthew 6:33, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." Well, that's how we need to live. The Apostle James gives us a very simple prescription for revival. He says this in James chapter 4, verse 8. He says, "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you." Now, I want you to think about that for a moment. It says, "Draw near to God." He didn't say, "God is going to draw near to you, and then you're going to feel all warm and fuzzy inside, and then you're going to want to spend more time with God. You're going to want to be closer to him after he draws closer to you." It's not what it says. God is going to preserve his dignity. And he is going to reveal himself to those who truly want him. Are you going to draw near to him? Or are you just waiting for him to do something? See, I believe there are times when you have got to prove to God that you want more of him. You've got to show them what you want. I remember what A.W. Tozer said. He said, "Each man is as spiritual as he wants to be." I just 100% agree with that, and then I also 100% feel that twinge right there. It's like, yeah, that's right. That's right. I always say I want more of God. I want to be more spiritual. Each man is as spiritual as they want to be. If we say, well, a little more of God would be nice, but it's not that big a deal to me right now. And I believe God is going to tell you, well, it's not that big a deal to me right now either. Oh, I'd like to spend more time with God, but I'm so busy right now. I mean, you know, my schedule is just jam-packed and there's just unusual things going on. It's just hard for me to do that. I tell you, when we draw near to God and we say, God, I can't go on without you. God, I don't want to move ahead unless you are with me. I want to be closer to you. I want you to be closer to me. When you say those kind of things, God says, I can't go on without you either. I'm right here. I'm going to side up next to you, and we're going to do this thing together. This is part of preparing for revival. I need more of you, God. We're going to have to draw near to him before he draws near to us. I mean, that's the truth of the matter. If you're sitting back going, okay, God, anytime, I'm waiting for you. You're going to wait a long time. You're the one who has to take that step. You're the one. If we're aloof, God will be aloof. Sometimes if people are wondering, well, why don't I have that close relationship with God? Well, it might be that you haven't drawn close to God. Maybe you haven't made the effort to get that close relationship with God. Well, I did. I'm for a whole week, I spent time on my knees. Well, maybe he's wanting more than a week. Maybe it'll take more than a week for him to be convinced that you truly want more of him. If you even really took a week. Anyway, before I get everybody feeling bad, and myself included, let's move on. You know, we just need intensity in seeking God. Up the intensity. Whatever your level of intensity is right now at this moment, even in the moment that you're excited by this message, you just dial it up even beyond that. We need to have some intensity. We need to have some passion. We need to have a hunger to seek God. And when we have that hunger, he's right there with us. He's hungry to have that relationship. If we want God to show up at our house, I think we need to show up at his house. And I'm not just necessarily referring to a church setting. You know, that we're in strange and interesting times right now, but you kind of get my gist. All right. The third thing, preparing for a revival. We need to break up the unplowed ground. As I was talking about in Hosea, the ground that we're talking about, of course, is the soil of our hearts. The soil of our hearts. The unplowed ground is where your heart has been neglected, where it's become hardened to the things of God, hardened to the desires of God, hardened to the very heart and the nature of God. There are two things that'll make our hearts hard: sin and unbelief. And if you want to kind of look through that whole concept, go to Hebrews chapter 3 and 4. Sin and unbelief will harden your heart. Sin will make your heart so hard that it'll be hard to receive the seed of God's word in your life. And if you can't receive that seed, you will not grow a crop of whatever God wants in your life. You know, you have to sow if you're going to receive a harvest. Unbelief will do the same thing. Unbelief, sin and unbelief are the two things that made the hearts of that first generation that came out of Egypt. It was sin and unbelief that hardened their hearts to the point where they could not receive from God and where they ended up becoming just those wilderness wanderers we talked about last week. And they never were able to inherit their promised land. Don't let a hardened heart keep you out of your promised land. I mean, even though God gave them good promises and he gave them assurances of his faithfulness and his loyalty and of his strength and his power through the miracles that they saw, through the provision that he provided, still, once they saw those giants, unbelief set in. All of the sin that they had involved themselves in and idol worship on the side, all of that played a part in them not being able to receive their promise. They continued in sin and unbelief until they eventually just died in the wilderness. We don't want to be those kind, right? What do you do to break up this hardened ground of your heart? Well, you need to do a good job with a plow. You know, that's how, if you've been watching out in the fields around this time of year, they're out there breaking up those hard clods of dirt with plows. Well, for us, for the situation of a hardened heart, the plow, it's repentance. Repentance. Repentance will break up sin. Repentance will break up unbelief. Repentance really is just a solid, solemn decision to go the other way. You have to make a choice. You have to do something. Go the other way. You can be upset by your sin. You can be troubled by your lack of faith, by your unbelief. You can even come to the front and say, I've just been struggling, and I want you to pray for me. Well, the sad news is we can't pray a hard heart out of you. We can pray for you, but we can't pray a hard heart out of you. It's got to be plowed up by repentance. You have got to repent. That first generation in the wilderness, they are an example to us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 6, it says that. It says, now these things, the things that those first folks out of Egypt did, the hardness of their heart, their unbelief, it says these things are our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. They were an example to us. Let's not follow in their footsteps. Let us repent. Let us change the direction that we have been going in. Every day we hold on to sin is another day that our heart gets harder. If we don't do something about that sin that's been plaguing your life, you know, little sin, big sin, whatever sin, if you recognize there's sin in your life, the Holy Spirit has been bringing it to your remembrance and saying, you know, this has got to change. And you ignore it, you're hardening your heart. The only way to get beyond that is to repent, turn around, go the other way. You know, every day that we excuse or coddle our unbelief is another day our hearts grow harder. And you can get so hard, I believe, that it becomes impossible to repent. You can get so far out there that it's difficult to stop. Anyway, as I said also last week, don't treat unbelief as a little thing. Ooh, it's a biggie. It's a biggie. Move on. The fourth thing, in preparing for revival, we need to sow the seeds of personal revival. In other words, in your own life. Remember Hosea 10, 12, it said, sow for yourselves righteousness. I mean, it talks about breaking up the fallow ground. It talks about seeking the Lord, making that your first priority. But it starts out by saying, sow for yourselves righteousness. We can't expect to reap a harvest of revival. We can't expect to reap a crop of miracles, a greater passion for Jesus, a breakthrough or a new anointing. We cannot do that if we are not sowing seeds for that direction. But what do I mean by that? Well, you know, this stuff that we're talking about doesn't just, again, fall right out of the sky. This is stuff that is brought about in our lives because we have taken the steps to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. All these things then come as a matter of that. We will reap a revival if we sow for revival. And when I hope if you get nothing else out of this message, when I'm talking about seeking revival, I'm talking about in us. Okay? If we get the revival in us, the revival outside is going to happen. The reason the revival hasn't happened outside is not because God is unwilling to see people revived. It's because the church has not done what the church needs to do. We haven't revived to the level where we are that light that shines on a hill so bright that they can't ignore it. We blend in, way too much. Way too easily. Anyway, gosh, I feel like I'm being somewhat harsh and mean. I don't mean it to be. But I'm being really honest and frank here. Where was I? Oh yeah, we've got to sow these seeds of revival in our lives so that we become revived, so that there's a greater level of our spiritual life exhibited in us, to those in our family, to those in our community, to those where we work. That's where revival has to start. And it can start, you know, with little seeds. You don't have to all of a sudden become, you know, some big, bold, miracle-working saint by tomorrow. And the fact that's probably not going to happen, because you're going to reap what you have sown. And if you haven't been sowing those seeds for revival, you're not going to see the harvest yet. But you can start sowing today. You can begin to sow those seeds. You can start with something very simple. You know, there was a while back, I just had to start getting up earlier because I wanted to spend time with God. I wanted to spend some time in the morning when I started my day. I just wanted to have time. Now, I know a lot of people, they set the alarm clock and they hit the snooze button 6 times before they actually have to get up and just rush out to work and maybe get there on time and right on time. That's just not for me. Because I made a decision I was going to do this thing different. I was going to spend time with God. And you know what happened? I had to get up earlier. And for those of you who struggle with that, let me give you a hint. Go to bed earlier. It worked for me. I tell you what, if you get up earlier, you'll want to be going to bed earlier than you were before. But And you don't have to get up early. You don't have to do it the way I've done it. But you have to do something to begin to sow seeds that will bring a harvest into your life, a harvest of revival in your own spiritual walk. Again, if you're just comfortable and you're happy where you are and you just want to sit on the back row, well, that's okay, I guess, for you. But I'm not willing to settle for that. And I hope you aren't too. I hope that you can sense enough of what God is doing, the potential that God can use this event if we, the church, rise up and be the church that he's called us to be. Man, oh man. Getting up a little early, spending a little more time in the Word, hanging out with other believers. I tell you what, the sinful nature within us all, the flesh, is going to protest. It's going to try and talk you out of it. This is too hard. I heard somebody once say, well, I just can't read the Bible for very long. Well, you could if you really wanted to. You know, I just can't read it for long. Okay, well then, read it 100 times a day in short spaces, you know, whatever, but find a way to sow those seeds so that it makes a difference, so that you become more and more alive, what we would call revived to the things of God. And make an investment in your own spiritual growth by hanging out with other people that are hungry for God. I'm talking about church, I'm talking about Bible studies, I'm talking about small groups, I'm talking about just ways that you can get together with other people. And now, of course, I've got to put in the disclaimer, be sure you are socially distanced properly and you know all that. But hang out, even if it's an online hangout. Hang out with people who are going to inspire you and encourage you. People that you can say, yeah, we're going together. We're going to raise up a new standard of righteousness in this body. We are going to stand up for Jesus Christ in a way that the world has not seen before, because we have no fear. Because we know we have a purpose. Oh, man, I tell you what, we need to be preparing ourselves for the revival in us first, and then sowing seeds for revival. I mean, how are we going to reap a crop of born-again believers if we have nothing to sow, no seed to sow? If we aren't sowing seed now, there is no harvest to come. It's just, you know, natural. So, I'm going to finish there, but I'm just going to ask you to think about what I have preached tonight. And maybe in your own heart, make a commitment as I pray. Father, I thank you that you, you're willing to give us what we ask for, as we ask in your will. And our desire, Lord God, is to be first and foremost revived ourselves. Lord, where we have neglected you, where we have allowed our hearts to become crusty because of unbelief or sin or just even complacency, which I think is unbelief, Lord, I pray that you would help us to recognize that and give us the strength to turn away as we make a solid decision to repent. And Lord, help us to see the areas that we need to shore up our own lives, the ways that our light isn't shining so brightly. Lord, I know that you desire more than we do the salvation of souls throughout this world, particularly in these last days. And Lord, I pray that you would create that passion, that fire in our own souls to hunger for the salvation of lost souls during these days. And Lord, let that be fuel. Let it be inspiration. Let it be the push that we need to recognize how we need to change, how we need revival. And let us, Lord, begin to sow those seeds. I know that your Spirit will water them. I know that a harvest is coming, and I thank you for it. Lord, in this time, this moment, we commit ourselves again to your greater purpose, greater than whatever our desire is, to your greater purpose. We commit ourselves in the name of Jesus. Help us do it. His name.